we're called Local Natives, and we're from the L.A. area, and we're on tour right now with two other bands from L.A. Called The Union Line and Vauxhall Broadcast, and we've been around for, been a band for about two years, and sound, I guess you would call it, would be like percussive-driven indie rock. We've heard that we're for fans of like Arcade Fire, Grizzly Bear, Annual, Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah. We have like a lot of percussion going on, to a lot of rhythms that are interwoven with the music. I play drums along with our drummer, like next to the keyboard. And another huge thing about us is our harmonies, because we have three singers in the band. So there's no really like lead singer. Everyone kind of switches off, and more often than not, we're all singing together.
And you've been, you said you've been, band's been together for a few years. You just became Local Natives last year, right?
Right, yeah. We just changed our name in the summer. We were under a different name for a bit, and we kind of developed a new sound, a sound that we all settled on. And, you know, because being in a band, you're always kind of looking to develop, like, what kind of musical statement you're going to make. And so we've been working on that for a while, and finally got something that we really liked, and then we decided to try to turn a new leaf and rename the band after we finished our first full-length recording back in the summer of 2008.
So what did the old band sound like, or how did it get started? What were some of the detours you took before you settled on where you are now?
Well, it's just like the whole trial and error basis. Like me and Taylor Rice and Ryan Hahn, we started the band, or they actually have been playing music since middle school. Then I joined about 5 years ago with them, and we've just been playing music since then. And with the lineup that we have now, we've been together for about 2 years, like I said. And I don't know, just, so you're asking how we're kind of, how we've gotten to this point.
Yeah, I guess, was there an aha moment when you realized that you'd found what you'd been looking for, or and what kind of things did you maybe try that weren't working out so well?
Well, we kind of had one person singing nearly all the songs, and then me and Taylor started getting into the mix more with singing, and we started to find out that we had a pretty neat thing going on with our three different voices, and so we decided to kind of go forward with that and kind of switch off each leading songs and then everyone singing together. I think it was like a couple of years ago, I'd seen a couple bands that had used some additional percussion on stage, and I thought it added this thing to the sound that made it sound so much fuller. And I really, I used to play drums back in like high school. I played for a hardcore band for a while, that'd be my first instrument. I kind of brought it back and was like, well, why don't I just do some percussion on the side? Because I play keyboard in the band and I sing. And why don't I just do that to kind of enhance the rhythmic section of it? So we started doing that and singing a lot more, and started writing the album pretty much between like November of 2007 to about June of 2008. And we got all these songs together that kind of had this this common thread between it, like that went through all the songs, and I guess you'd call that like our aha moment, where we're like, oh, this is something that everyone's really like excited about, and something that, you know, it has a lot of different things going on in each of the songs that make them different, but then there's the core elements that make them the same. And I think that's when we realized that we had kind of developed our own sound that we liked.
Mm-hmm. Are you still unsigned?
Yes.
So, and the record's called Gorilla Manor, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell me a little about that and what the status that is and what your release plans are?
Well, we lived in the same house in Orange, so like Southern California, it's Northern Orange County. Lived in the same house together, and that's pretty much where we wrote the album, and we kind of coined the name Gorilla Manor to try and we named kind of a house that, just because of all the characters that we would have in there and all the times that we had in there. It just like almost felt like a bunch of animals like living in a house together, and this whole concept of of everyone contributing, and because the band is very, it's not really like a nuclear band, like you would have like a lead singer, a bassist, guitarist, a drummer. It's very communal. Like everyone puts in their sense, and actually takes us a long time to like actually agree on a song and agree on how a song will be written and where it will go. But yeah, so the album name just kind of it felt like a fit because we wrote all the songs there and that's kind of where the whole album came from, was this place that we kind of imagined in our heads called Gorilla Manor.
Do you still live there?
We moved, actually, all of us moved to Silver Lake in December. So now we're from L.A. We moved the whole Gorilla Manor up north.
Is it still Gorilla Manor?
Yep.
So it's not actually tied to the house. It's not venue specific. It's just wherever you are.
Sure.
So is the record still coming out this soon?
Yeah, we're kind of pitching it to some different labels. We're wanting to see if we can release it off a small indie. And so we're seeing if we can get any bites from that, which we have, which is awesome. And so we're kind of it's kind of in the works right now to be released early to mid-09.
Mm-hmm. Do you have how many labels have expressed interest at this point?
About four or five, and it's still growing, so that's been nice.
Yeah. Well, what are your criteria for a label?
Pretty much, I mean, we're definitely not looking to go any major route, per se. I mean, we definitely would need, someone that would help develop us as a brand and as a band, and we're not ready for any huge, like, jump in anything. Pretty much just looking for a label with some good cred and a label that can help us get to, you know, point the next step. So we don't even really care about how big it is or whatever. We just need someone to help, like on the team.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that really believes in it. And so if, you know, we get somebody that is really passionate about the music, those are the only types of people that we really want to associate ourselves with.
Why go with a label in this day and age? There are a lot of people who are choosing to try to go completely independent at this point. Obviously, with digital distribution, it's not very expensive to get the music out there, but what is the value of a label for you?
It definitely just helps the process move a lot smoother because there's a lot of benefits that have come from, you know, the internet and being able to do digital distribution and like you can pretty much do everything yourself, and you've seen like great cases like Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah or different bands that have released it and have become very successful, but it's a lot of work, and to be a band, it's pretty much like being a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have all these different jobs that you have to take care of. You have to, you know, get someone to book, you have to get PR, you have to get your online community to where they're working for you to help, you know, spread the word of the band, and it definitely just helps, it would help do our job as the musicians and writers and on the creative side to be able to make the music that people want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have, you know, if you're able to spend less time on trying to release it yourself and less time trying to build a marketing plan on your own and have other people do it, you can focus more on, you know, different aspects that would help your band grow aside from those things.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
So just basically that it would just help us not more in that way. You can go on.
Is this your first national tour at this point?
We've done a couple things up the West Coast, and we went out to Chicago and back once. But this is our first full national U.S. tour. It's the first time being out to the East Coast and back.
Are you finding, I know that those tend to be hit and miss affairs. Sometimes you might be playing to two people and sometimes a full house. What's the experience been like so far?
It's been really, really great. More often than not, we've been playing venues in these cities. A lot of these cities we've never played before, but we've been lucky enough to have the venues be venues that have, you know, cred, our hipper venues in town that people will come and they have a built-in audience. So we've been really lucky to have, you know, a ton of people just come out to see a show because they just come and they just go there just to see a good show and they have that reputation. So it's been really great. It's interesting because the smaller towns, like we played Hattiesburg, Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
and we rolled in there, and it was like a ghost town. Like we were in there like at 6 in the evening, and there's no one on the streets. All the lights were pretty much off, and the venue we played at was at the Thirsty Hippo, and you could hardly see the sign. We got lost for a second, and we were like, oh, I don't know how this show's going to go. And it ended up being one of the best shows on the tour because people just came out of the woodworks to come out and have a good time. That was really great. Because, you can play in huge places like Nashville and New York, and they have a lot of shows coming out, but the thing is, since there are so many shows, it's tougher to get, everyone mobilized in one place. So a lot of times those shows cannot be as good as the ones in the smaller towns.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, they've all been really great.
What have you done to try to build some buzz? I mean, it's really hard. There's such a glut of stuff out there, and I think it's difficult without a lot of marketing behind you to kind of get the word out about who you are and what you do.
Uh-huh.
How have you tried to build buzz?
Well, what we've done is, so when we finished the record, back in like September, we got it mastered and finished and finalized. And so at that point, we were like, okay, so let's release one song and just put it up on our MySpace and see how that goes. And then what we did was each of us kind of picked like 50 or 60 blogs online that we liked and pretty much sent out a big press release about the band, about the music, and about kind of like introducing who local natives were. And so from like about like 200, 250 blog hits, there was like 10 that got back to us and really loved the music. And so we, followed up with them, and they wrote pieces, and we kind of got the ball rolling that way. And then we didn't want to release the whole record just yet. We wanted to save it so that we could see if we could do it off an indie. So we covered a song by the Talking Heads called Warning Signs. Are you familiar with that song?
Yeah, it was one of the ones I've got, so.
Yeah, great. So we recorded that and then put that up and then sent out another kind of blog thing about the news about the cover. And so that got some more play. And what's been really awesome is that as we're getting, more hits on blogs, some other blogs are taking notice, and it's kind of turning into snowball effect where now we're on earfarm.com. We were the band of the week this past week, which is awesome. They came out to the New York show, and they loved it, and we've been getting just, more notice that way. So that's really helped get our name out there. And plus, being in L.A., it's really great. It's just a great place to be networking and to be a band because there's people there, like half the people there work in some sort of form in the industry, and so we're always out, meeting people and making contacts and, just working it on the streets.
How did you decide we're each going to contact 50 blogs? I mean, is there a business plan, or was it just somebody's idea? You'd heard somebody else had done that?
So you're asking where the idea came from?
Yeah.
It's just basically we've seen bands that get up, from nowhere to being a big thing, and it's bands like Fleet Foxes and Vampire Weekend and Cold War Kids that started getting people on blogs interested, and so we've really hit those heavy because we've seen it happen with so many bands where it just explodes online, and then all these people start taking notice, and then on top of that just touring and stuff, and basically just trying to copy what other people have done and seeing where that takes us, and it's worked out really well.
So did you contact Sean from Daytrotter, or did he contact you?
What was neat is to backstep, we had someone from Press Here PR contact us saying that they really loved the music. We sent them out a record, and he has his own boutique PR firm where he kind of works with smaller bands that aren't really at the level that they're ready to work at with Press Here. And so he sent it out to a bunch of people, and then through another contact, we had sent the record out to Daytrotter, and they really liked it, but it kind of got on the back burner, and then when our person, our PR person, sent out a blast in December to try and do some press for the tour. They saw our name again, and they revisited the album, and they said they really liked it. And we lined up a session with them. And what was awesome about it is that the bands that we're on tour with, you know, we're really excited about them. We like their sound a lot. They're really great friends of ours. And Day Trotter's actually going to pick up all three bands to do sessions, and then a show later that night.
The what has been surprising for you on tour when you've gotten out of the off the West Coast?
How cold it is. It's killing everyone. It's so bad. We're like in like thermals and doubling up on socks and stuff, and then there's people that live here that are just in t-shirts, and they're like, it's not that cold, and we're freezing and like hardly able to speak, and we just looked like such amateurs. We just looked like such West Coasters.
Are the three bands in separate vehicles, or are you all traveling together?
We're actually all sharing equipment and traveling in two like 40 Econoline vans. So I'm in a van right now with 9 other people, and the other van has 6 and all the gear. And what's been nice is that we've only had to split up twice, and every night, because we don't really have money for hotel rooms, so we'll be at the venue, and, you know, we'll meet these people that are really excited about the band and really love the band, and we'll be like, hey, can we, you know, can 15 people crash on your floor? And a lot of people have opened their homes and their hearts to us and, you know, fed us in the morning, and we've created some really awesome relationships on tour.
So you're looking for a place to stay here, or if you... do you know where you're sleeping?
Not as of yet, no. We usually know where we're sleeping about between the 1 to 2 o'clock hour of the night that we played.
Is this during the set or after the sets?
It's after the set. We got to win them over, you know. Like, we have to, like, really, like, just grab them, grab a hold of them. And, you know, that means we have to play good set. So it's like if you screw up the set, you might have trouble finding a place to sleep. So don't mess around.
Now, with 3 bands, 15 people, I'm guessing you're not raking in a ton of dough on these shows. I'm guessing they're relatively small venues. How does it work financially to even make a tour like this work?
Well, how we book the tour is Tony is the drummer for the Union Line, and he used to be a kind of a booking agent of sorts and book tours for Delta Street and Kohler Kids when they were smaller bands, because they're all from our area as well. And then he started his band back in February and, you know, wanted to book tours for us because we're all really good friends. So he booked this whole thing himself with the help of a couple of us here and there. And basically a lot of the things will work off door deals where if the venue makes enough money, then they can pay us. But it's been really great for a lot of these venues because, I mean, they really like the music and they like, you know, supporting, you know, us starving artists. And they've been able to pay us, like, roughly, like, at least, like, 50 or 100 per band every night. So it's been getting us, you know, as long as we can just stay in the black, like, you know, have enough money for some food and some gas, then we're good. So it's worked out.
Really? You can make it go on 50 to 100 bucks a night per band?
Oh, yeah, man. Have you heard Subway? $5 footlongs, man. That's lunch and dinner. It's fantastic. It's a lifesaver, really.
How often do you actually end up sleeping in the vehicles or just driving through?
We haven't had to sleep in the vehicle once, which is pretty fantastic. Are you saying, like, have we driven overnight at all?
Well, yeah, I guess that you have 3 options, sleeping in the vehicle, sleeping in somebody's home, or being on the road, right?
Right, right, yeah. Well, we pretty much do all our driving during the day, and yeah, we haven't had to sleep in the vans yet, besides for Ryan in our band, because he has allergies, and a lot of the houses we've stayed at had cats, and so he gets, you know, exiled from the house, and he has to sleep in the van, poor guy.
It's not fun in winter, either.
Yeah, no, definitely.
How long have you been on tour at this point?
On tour? We just hit the midway point, like, last Sunday or Saturday. We've been on tour for about 2 weeks, and we have roughly 2 weeks more to go. I kind of wish we went the opposite direction that we're going. So we went through, we started in L.A. and then went through the south, like Arizona, all through Texas, New Orleans, Mississippi, and then up to New York. And we were just in Boston last night, which was freezing for us. But we still have Chicago and Detroit to go through, so the worst is definitely not over as far as the temperature.
And do you, so how many dates have you had at this point on this tour?
We have had 2 weeks, so a little over 2 weeks, so we've had 16 dates. We've played every night for two weeks.
Wow, and with the driving also, that's pretty, it's got to be exhausting.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. I mean, everyone just doing it for the love of it and just, you know, powering through it, and it's just what you got to do. So, I mean, it's not even a question of like, oh, I don't know if I can. It's like, you better figure it out. So we're drinking a lot of hot tea and taking naps in the car, and it helps.
Where do you want to be in a year?
I'd like to be on a probably respectable indie label with an album release that has gotten some good reviews. Toured the nation about 5 times, gone to Europe with a good booking agent, good licensing, a good lawyer, pretty much, you know, have a good dent in the career that we really want to establish.
How do you get there?
I mean, you know, just doing what we're doing. I mean, and we're talking to some potential booking agents and some lawyers and stuff, and it's just doing this and just getting out on the road and getting our music out to everyone and everybody and everybody's ears, and it just works from there. And so, I mean, we've already had some interest, and I imagine in a year, yeah, we'll have some good, successful things locked down.
Are there you're dealing with people every night who've never heard of you? What's the, in two sentences, what would you say to try to get them to come out and see you?
Do you like Fleet Foxes? We sound like Fleet Foxes.